Evangelism Month is our celebration of what the church really stands for. Hallelujah. And it's even a shame that we have to have Evangelism Month. Do you know? Because witnesses for the Lord is what we are supposed to be, as opposed to something we are supposed to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me show you what I mean by reading a verse from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Just turn to that verse and then we will pray and continue sharing the word of the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We pray that you will lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Akwete, can you welcome the lady sitting next to you? She's there for the first time. You're welcome, sister. At the end of the service, some people would like to talk to you and get to know you. What a shock. I almost fell. What? Are you serious? Okay. Or it wasn't there at all along. Maybe it wasn't there at all. And finally, she's being herself. Amen. Well, I guess everyone deserves a new look, isn't it? Yeah, you can't look the same way all your life. Yeah. I suggest you take it down even further. And then, Akwete, I suggest you can increase now. Okay. So we trade places. Who goes to the saloon is going to change. All right. Okay, but I just wanted you to see this verse. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall go and witness. Is that what it says? Yeah? So, witnessing is not supposed to be something we go and do. It is something we are. Do you understand? That you are a witness. And when you open your mouth to speak, all you're doing is you're testifying. Do you understand? The witness is just testifying to what he is a witness of. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible says that we are witnesses of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to show it to you in just a bit. Amen. We are witnesses. We are supposed to be witnesses. That means that our lives are supposed to be a daily message. And we are supposed to live our lives, move around, go to work, go to school, live in our apartments as living witnesses. People who are witnesses of the message of the gospel. What Jesus came to do. I think last week I explained to you the very simple message of the gospel. Amen. Amen. A witness must be ready to say what he saw. Isn't it? You don't have to think much about what you saw. Isn't it? Yeah. If on your way into this room, you saw some people at the lobby, whatever they were doing, three or four people standing there chatting, if you saw it, it doesn't have to be a struggle for you to tell me what you saw at the lobby if I asked you. Isn't it? It is only the person who has not experienced it. Do you understand? A person who has not experienced it is the person who can't talk about it. Because he has to imagine it and has to fake it and has to pretend he saw it. So he has to think deeply to be able to come up with anything to say about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, what I'm saying is very serious. Because it's now going to the core of your Christianity to address whether or not you're even saved yourself. Hallelujah. But if we have experienced it ourselves, it shouldn't be a difficult thing for us to be witnesses of what we have experienced. We should be able to share what we have experienced. We should be able to talk about what we have experienced. Amen. Amen. Steve. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So this thing about witnessing is something that we need to take seriously. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Do you get it? Now, it says, if the salt has lost its taste, what is the use of it? Let me just read that verse to you. Wow. Say wow. Wow. Okay, salt. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Have you found it? Okay. Then it says, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You see, it's complex. Can you make it simpler? It says, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is showing us today that we are supposed to be witnesses every time, every place, to anyone. Hallelujah. As we go around, as we move around, God expects us to be witnesses. Now, a witness must have a preparedness to share or say what he saw. Amen. Amen. That is why we need to, everybody needs to understand the message of salvation clearly enough to be able to present it in a simple, clear, and quick way. Hallelujah. In order to be able to pass on the message as we get the opportunity. Hallelujah. Is it not true? I think you understand what I'm saying, isn't it? Yeah. We need to understand the message of salvation enough to be able to bear witness to everyone we meet. Hallelujah. Now, I found a little book on my shelf this morning, and I found it very interesting. It says, the title of the book is From Zero to Eternity in 60 Seconds Flat. You know, From Zero to Eternity in 60 Seconds Flat. You know, that's an interesting book, isn't it? Right. And I think I'll recommend it to you because in this book I found so many little things that I think will be a great blessing to anyone. I don't remember where I got it from, but I have it. So find it somehow. Amen. I know the person who wrote it, and I know he's not alive anymore. But I'm sure that it talks about how much time we have. Do we have? It's talking about time we have. Like when you meet someone in the public restroom, you have 30 to 60 seconds. When you meet someone at Starbucks, you have 2 to 5 minutes. When you're waiting in a line, let's say at the grocery store, you have 1 to 5 minutes, you know. When you're at the drive-thru of a fast food restaurant, you have 30 to 60 seconds when you get to speak to the guy at the window. So it's just a sense of how much time you have in each situation. Do you get it? So do you understand that you need to know your stuff? Do you get it? It's not a time to start to think, you know, so because nothing comes, you simply ask, do you go to church? You get it? But you need to know the message of the gospel And I think last week we went through it very simply. Just a quick recap. Give us what we did last week. Number one is what? What is the message of the gospel? Number one is what? That what? That God loves him, isn't it? So the message of the gospel, number one, is the message of God's love. Hallelujah. Number two is what? Man is sinful and separated from God. So we cannot experience this love, isn't it? We cannot experience the plan that God has for us. We cannot experience the relationship as God intends for it to be. Amen. Amen. Right? Have you had a situation before where you went into somebody's house or you're dressed very sharply and smartly in your white clothes, and then as you enter the house, the person's little child is there and she's eating some chocolate or something other than chocolate, but her hands are not clean. And she sees you coming, auntie, auntie, and she's coming. Do you understand? Now, here is the thing. You start to back off from the person as though you do not like her. You like the child. You just don't like what's on her hands. Isn't it? And so that is going to cause you to keep a distance from someone you love. So someone you would otherwise like to embrace, someone you would like to have in your bosom, you have to keep a distance from the person because of the things on their fingers. But now, if they can find something that would take care of those fingers, do you understand? Which you often will even have to do yourself. You will have to get the person, because usually that little child cannot do anything about the stuff on her fingers. Just like we cannot do anything about the sins we have. We cannot do anything about our sins. That is the truth. People try to be good all the time. The most popular time to find good people is December 31st into the 1st of January. People make New Year resolutions. This year I'm going to be good. Do you understand? Yeah. And that lasts as long as the afternoon of January 1st. Do you understand? By the time they go to bed and wake up, they are just themselves again. Is it not true what I'm saying? Yeah. So it is not in a man to try to be good. The Bible actually says that all our righteousness, all our efforts at being good are like filthy rags before him. Amen. See, if you have a rag in your house, no matter how much you wash it, it's not going to be at a certain place in your house. Is it not true? Because it is by definition a rag. And a rag it will always be. And the Bible says all our righteousness is like a rag that you've even washed. Even if you wash the rag, what is it going to do? It's not going to make it any cleaner. It's not going to earn it a place among your precious things. You will not hang your rag even amongst your clothes. You will not even dry it, put it in the dryer at the same time as your favorite clothes. No matter how clean the rag is. And now the Bible says that our righteousness, our best effort at being righteous, is like a rag that has not been washed. So you can imagine, even when the rag is washed, it's not coming upstairs. How much more when the rag is not washed? Hallelujah. So no matter what you and I do, we can never be good enough. Some of us think we are good because we have our own classification of what is good and bad. And once we have been able to stay away from certain things that we call bad, then we feel that we are good. Do you understand? Most people have the big three or big five sins in their head. And then once they can check themselves excluded from big three or big five sins, then they feel that they are good people. Hallelujah. But our condition is because of who we are. It's not even so much because of what we've done as it is because of who we are. Hallelujah. The Bible says we were conceived in sin. That's the problem. The problem is who we are. It's not what we've done. what we've done is because of who we are. Do you understand? And how much of it we've done depends on time and chance. Do you understand? How much of yourself you've been able to express depends on time and chance. You see, what I'm trying to say is that if I meet any of you, right now all of you are quiet. Do you see? Would I be right if I assume that you're all deaf and dumb? I'll be making a big mistake. Do you get it? You have not spoken because you have not been given the opportunity to speak. Do you see? And you see that if I were to ask a question, what is your name? You see, he's talking because he's got the time and the chance. But you have not said anything. So because you haven't said anything and he is speaking, does it mean that you are dumb and he is not? That's not what it means. We both have the same capacities for sin. We all have the same capacity for doing evil. It's just that we don't all have the same opportunities for expressing what is in us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we are not all in the same context at the same time. We're not faced with the same temptations at the same time. And we're not in the same places at the same time. And so that causes there to be a variation in our expressions. But in terms of who we are and what is in us, I tell you, we are exactly the same, which is that all of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it is this problem we are trying to solve. We're not trying to solve the problem of the cigarette on someone's lips. You will have to look very hard to find in the Bible that God is even saying that to smoke is a sin. You have to look to really find it. Rather, if you don't take care, you are going to end up concluding that God likes smoke. Because in the Old Testament, they used to make sacrifices. And they would burn up the sacrifices. And the Bible talks in the book of Revelation about incense. You know, and how the sweet-smelling savor. Do you understand? So if you are not careful, you rather conclude that, you know, some type of cigarette probably is the way. Forward. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is not in what people do. What people do is because of who they are. That is why God does not change anybody by telling him to stop what he's doing. He changes the people by changing who they are inside. Once who they are changes inside, it begins to affect naturally what they do. Hallelujah. It starts to affect what they do. When God changes your inside, over time you see that the outside also begins to reflect what is on the inside. Amen. If you cut down a tree, what you have done is you've terminated the life of the tree. You don't have to go around it. If you want to kill a tree, you don't have to climb it and pick all the leaves. No. You have a big problem trying to pick all the leaves off a tree to cause it to lose the leaves. That is a big problem. And not only is it a big problem, when the season comes again, it will give birth to those same things again. Which is why you find that people will make promises and make resolutions and say that I will not do this anymore. And they find themselves doing the same thing. Because the root of it has not been cut off. The fountain is still flowing. And so the capacity to yield that fruit is still there. That is why God wants to solve that problem by terminating the life of the tree altogether. So he changes something about the tree. And once you cut that tree down, you can walk away. Don't even say anything about the leaves. The leaves will come off one by one by themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. See, sometimes we're not successful at witnessing to people because we do not tell them, we do not share with them what the real issue is. Are you getting it? We do not give them an opportunity at knowing what the real issue is. What are you trying to resolve with them? What are you trying to solve? Hallelujah. We tell them that God wants you to stop doing this. Do you see? We tell them that you need to stop doing that. You need to tell. The proof that you are not a Christian is that you are still doing this and that and that. It's probably true, but that's not the real problem you are trying to solve. The real thing is that you need to help the person to understand his nature. Hallelujah. Understand his nature. That, you know, if you take a pig and you give the pig a bath and you buy a first class ticket for the pig and you buy it on, not on Delta or anything, you just buy it on, which one? Virgin Atlantic. Yeah. Virgin Atlantic or Air France or some exotic airline or something like that in first class and fly it all around the world and bring it back. As soon as it gets off the plane, it will be looking for the next mud. And with this bow tie, it will go and lie in the mat waiting for you. Because it's a pig. Hallelujah. So that is the thing. Our sins are a problem. They separate us from God. Hallelujah. That is why when you become a Christian, you now develop a sensitivity to sin. You see, and you must have one. You must have a sensitivity to sin. That when you sin, you must feel that, no, something is wrong over here. Hallelujah. That's why a Christian should not choose to live and continue to live in sin. Because what you're doing is you are killing your sensitivity to sin. Hallelujah. You are killing your ability, because after you've done a wrong thing for a long time, it starts to feel right. It is not because the thing has changed, but it is because you have killed your sensitivity to knowing even what is wrong. And the Holy Spirit is quenched in that direction. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? So our sins are a problem and we need to address it. Amen. And that is what you want a person to understand. Now number three is what? Number three is what? Jesus. Yeah, he bridges the gap between us and God, isn't it? Because now there's a separation. So Jesus is the way that we can come back to God, which is that through him and through. So you understand what to explain or what you mean when you say he's the gap, the bridge, isn't it? You understand that he is the bridge because it is through his blood, isn't it? Yeah, it is through his blood. The Bible says there is no salvation in any other name except the name of Jesus Christ, isn't it? No other name is given among men by which they can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. So if we want to be saved, we need to go through Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? Because he said, I am the way, isn't it? Yeah, nobody else has confidently said, I am the way. But Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I am the way. I am the way. Often, if there was no question about other ways, there wouldn't be a need to define the way. Do you understand? Yeah, there wouldn't be a need to define the way if there isn't really other things that are making or presenting and looking like the way. Do you understand? Yeah, the reason why you have to define this as the way, this is the way to the front door, is because this one is also here and that's also here. If these were not here, we would all naturally go through here. Do you understand? But it is because this one is here and this one is here that we have to define clearly that for where you want to go, this is the way. Hallelujah. And Jesus said that if it is the Father you want to come to, it's by me. You have to come through me. Amen. So that's the message. Then I don't care what else you know or what you've thought and what your experience may be, but this is what the Bible said, and that is what should be the case. Say amen. Amen. Right. Then the next one is what? Number what? Four. Number four is what? Number four is we must receive, isn't it? Yeah. We must individually, because once you have established that God likes me, number two, I have a problem with my sins, isn't it? Number three, you've told me what the solution is. Number four is apply the solution, isn't it? So you are saying that I must receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, isn't it? Yeah, I must receive Him as my Lord and my Savior individually. Every person must do this for themselves. Can I have an amen? No one does it on behalf of the family. Hallelujah. It could, because the sins are your sins. Amen. Yeah, the sins are your sins. And so it is your sins that must be forgiven. And so we must individually receive Jesus Christ as our Lord so that we can be, our sins can be forgiven. Then I think I gave you a fifth point, which is what? You must what? Lead the person to confess Christ, isn't it? So you must confess with your mouth. You must believe with your heart, and you must confess with your mouth, isn't it? Right? Did I give you a verse for it? What verse is that? Revelation 3:20, and then what? Oh, no, those two verses are the assurance. I gave you one more point, which was how do we know that Jesus has come into our lives, isn't it? But the one you are talking about is Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, okay? So, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Let's read verse 10, verse 9. That's verse 8. Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you see that? If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. So do you remember when we read the story of Philip and the eunuch last week? Do you remember we read the story of Philip and the eunuch last week? And then the guy said, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, something can disqualify you from baptism. You know, so Philip told him, well, if you believe, then you that disqualifier will be removed. And the man said, I believe. Do you get it? Yeah, in other words, we don't just put you in water because you want to be in water. Hallelujah. Or because somebody wants you to be baptized, so you just be baptized. No, we don't do that. One of these days, we have to have water baptism because some of you have not been baptized since you believed. Hallelujah. Since you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you've not been baptized. The only baptism you have is when you were an infant and you were too young to believe. That's when you were baptized. You see, so your baptizing came before your believing. So that baptism has to be fixed. Can I have an amen? Amen? Are you getting it? So the guy said, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, no, it's not like that. Now you see water, no, you want to go inside and be baptized. No, it's not like that. But if you believe, then yes, it can happen. And the man said, yes, I believe. If that's what you require, I believe. So I want to be baptized. Then Philip said, no problem. Now let's go and get the baptism. And they did it. And I believe the man was saved. And after that, Philip was taken away. Now the reason why Philip was insisting on that is because of this principle. That the Bible says a person must confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus. And he must believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead in order to be saved. Can I have an amen? Amen? Nothing more, nothing less. Hallelujah. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you have to believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Believe, not believe or not say it just because someone is leading you in a prayer, but you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Why do we have to believe that God raised him from the dead? Because this one thing is what Jesus said would be the sign that he is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This one thing is the sign. One day he said that a wicked generation is the one that looks for a sign. Then he said that no one, they will get no sign except the sign of Jonah. Now, what's the sign of Jonah? That somebody went into the belly of the whale for 3 days and after that came again. Do you understand? Yeah. And Jesus was by that saying that he, just like Jonah, was going to go into the belly of the earth and he would come out again. So that is the sign. Hallelujah. And that is the reason why you need to believe this. This God raised him from the dead is the one thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion. Amen. It's the one thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion, which is that, you know, that God raised Jesus from the dead. That not only did he die, but he was raised again on the third day. And this is also part of our message. Hallelujah. And this is something that a person has to believe. Can I have an amen? Amen. It's something that a person has to believe. And we are witnesses of this. That is our message. Hallelujah. And we share this message with people. And once they can believe it in their hearts, the Bible says, they will be saved. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we should not be confused at all about who a person who a saved person is and who he is not. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can have friends who are very good, but that's not the same as being saved. Amen. You can have friends who are well-mannered, but it's not the same as being saved. Sometimes you can have someone who is very educated. It's not the same as being saved. Hallelujah. One day, many years ago, I remember there was a lady who was going to get married to someone. And then one Christian brother asked the lady, "Your beloved, is he a Christian? Is he born again?" Then she said, "Oh no, he's an American." You get it? It's like, is your beloved born again? I mean, trying to find a qualification for marrying the person. Oh, but no, but he's an American. You get it? But being American is not the same as being born again. Hallelujah. It's not the same. Many years ago, Bishop preached a message about, he said 20 things that are not the same as being born again. It's a very small booklet, called Born Again. 20 things that are not the same as being born again. And being an American is not the same as being born again. Can I have an amen? Amen. And being well-mannered, having good manners, is not the same as being born again. You can meet someone, he won't hurt anybody, he's very polite, he speaks well, you get it? He's not all over the place. You know, there are some people, like, even when you talk to them, you see that they are in pieces. You see, but he's not like that. This person looks calm and cool and collected like Shegun. But it's not the same as being born again. Are you getting it? It's not the same as being born again. It's a different thing altogether. You see, if you are the boss at a job, it doesn't mean you are born again. Hallelujah. And if you go to church, that also does not mean that you are born again. Hallelujah. So we should not be confused at all. And when we meet people and the people look like they are together, they look righteous, or they look like they even know the church songs, it's not the same as being born again. Do you understand? If you know some church songs, it doesn't mean you are born again. Hallelujah. If your next door neighbor or your roommate keeps playing their church songs, you will learn them over time. Do you see the way you can catch yourself singing some songs? Yeah, you didn't learn it, but you've heard it so many times that you suddenly find yourself in your unguarded moments singing them. Sometimes unbeliever songs, isn't it? Yeah, you've heard it so often and it's been played and played and played. You find yourself just moving and then tapping to it. You get it? Then you just remember, hey, I'm a believer. Come on. And then, well, the reverse can also happen, which is that someone who is not saved can learn a song. Do you get it? And especially in these times, you know, where music has changed and, you know, music is so much less music and so much more, you know, beats and fake type of stuff. You see, so it leaves Christian songs as some of the best songs around now. Songs with good lyrics, songs you can hear and enjoy, and even some of them are uplifting. Do you get it? And encouraging. Now, enjoying the upliftment that a song has to offer is not the same as being born again. Do you get it? So if you see someone standing somewhere and just singing and saying that, you know, what's the song? How great is our God? Maybe she's doing the dishes and singing, sing with me, how great is our God. It's not the same as being born again. Do you get it? Yeah. Just like if you say the sky is blue, it doesn't make you an astronaut or anything like that. You are just stating a fact. And when you start to say how great is our God, you are stating a fact. But that's different from having a relationship with Him. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you clear on these things? Amen. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? Right. Let's read some more scriptures so we can really have a more solid base. I want everybody here to be an effective witness, someone who knows what your message is and what you're trying to communicate to someone when you have those 3 minutes with them, when you have those 15 seconds with them, when you have those 20 seconds in the elevator, wherever you meet the person. What are you going to say to them? Hallelujah. You definitely may not have an opportunity like this, you know, to explain to them in detail the way I'm sharing with you. So what are the salient points? What should you know? Hallelujah. And these are some of the things I am attempting to hand to you. Say amen. Amen. All right. So let's talk about okay, so our message is to let people know that God loves them. Let them know that our sins have separated us from God. Let them know that God has made a provision for our sins. Let them know that they must receive Jesus Christ, who is the provision, in order for their sins to be taken care of. Amen. And that is the good news. Amen? That is the good news. And you should not underestimate the power of the good news to convert a person by itself. Amen? Amen. See, many times we take on the burden of explaining things to people. Do you understand? And rather, it generates more argument. Because many times, even these discussions lead to a place where you don't have answers. Do you understand? So it comes to like a type of cul-de-sac conversation. It comes to a dead end, and you are not able to move beyond that place. But the gospel itself, the message of salvation, the Bible says we are to proclaim it. Didn't say we are to explain it. Can I have an amen? It didn't say we are to explain it. Our mission is not to explain the gospel. Our mission is to proclaim it. And when we say it as it is, God Himself has a way of making it work in the lives of people that the Holy Spirit is drawing in order to generate the result we want. Hallelujah. It will work supernaturally in the hearts of those who hear us. Can I have an amen? Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Romans chapter 1 verse 15. It says, for my part, Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Can you see that? I'm ready to do what? Preach what? The gospel. Amen. I remember many years ago, I read a book years ago where the person split this word and said, gospel means go spell. It means go and spell out what you know about Christ. Hallelujah. But anyway, verse 16 is the verse we want. Verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can you see that? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. He says, I am not what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is the good news or the message of Christ. That is just what we summarized. Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose again because of your sins. Do you understand? You are a sinner. God loves you. He doesn't want you to perish. He sent Jesus Christ to come and die for you. He died, and God raised him from the dead to save you from your sins. That's the gospel. Now, the Bible says that simple message, it says, it is the power of God. It is the power pill. Do you understand? That generates salvation to anyone who believes it. Hallelujah. Amen. So it will bring salvation to anybody who believes it. If anybody who will believe that simple thing. And that's without much explanation. And when you read the Bible and you see the first preachers, like you read the book of Acts, and you read Peter, the apostle, preaching, you realize that they don't explain a whole lot. All they do is just to state the facts that God has anointed Jesus Christ, you know, whom David spoke about, whom the prophet spoke about, and whom you crucified and who died. But God has raised him up again, and anyone who repents and believes in him will be saved. And that plus the combination of the power of the Holy Spirit. Huh, something is going on there. Okay, that plus the power of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be able to produce conversion in anyone who believes it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So do not feel bad if you can't explain much. Do you understand? If you can't explain much, you don't need to be explaining a whole lot. God has not called us to explain the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Otherwise, then evangelism will be only for people who have been in the Lord for a long time and who know a lot. Do you understand? But you realize that when Jesus had encounters with people, on the first day, he was able to tell them, go and share what you have experienced. Go and tell others about what you have heard. Hallelujah. What will you tell, if you have one encounter with Jesus and you have been sent to go and tell others, what will you tell them? You won't have much to say except what you have experienced. Hallelujah. And the crux of what you have experienced is this. Amen. That's why he said that, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You must not be ashamed of the gospel. You must not be embarrassed by how little you know. If you know the gospel, it is enough. If you know what the gospel is, it's enough. Amen. And don't be ashamed of it. It says that, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it. All they have to do is to believe what you're saying. Amen. All they have to do is to believe what you're saying, and it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you following that verse? You understand it, don't you? Right. So, that is what we are supposed to be preaching. That is the gospel. Hallelujah. Right. Then, Acts chapter 20. Acts Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. Okay? Right? It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Which is what? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. So what have we received? What is the message? What have we been called to do? What is the ministry that has been given to us? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Remember, we are witnesses. Do you understand? Yeah, we are witnesses. And so when the witness begins to speak about what he saw, what he's doing is what? He's testifying. He's just saying what he saw. Hallelujah. All of us have had an experience with Christ. All of us know Christ to some degree. All of us have had an experience with him. That is all you are supposed to share. Amen. You should. And all of us have that. What we all have in common, sometimes when you hear people's testimonies, you hear very wild, wild stories and so on. But it all boils down to the same point. All of us have had this one experience. We were sinners. We believed that Christ died for us. We accepted him as our Lord. And he saved us like he said he would. And that is it. Hallelujah. So no matter where it happened, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter how dramatic the story is, or the experience, or the encounter is, it all comes to the same thing. Say amen. All comes to the same thing, which is that Jesus Christ, he died for us and he rose again. We believe that and we are saved. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you think you are following what I'm saying? Yes. You look very sleepy and very, very tired. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, and if in the church we are not interested in the message of the gospel, then the church is spoiled. Do you understand? Yeah, that's what is a church supposed to do? You get it? But you see that if we were to be preaching about money and how God will bless you with money, God will give you a new job, God will bless you with a new beloved. See? Yeah. See, that man who is not speaking, a deaf and dumb spirit has entered his throat and is robbing you of your marriage. But now, the Holy Ghost is setting him free today in the name of Jesus. I give you 3 days, he will speak. Come on, you see, the whole church will come alive. The church is lost. Are you getting it? Yeah, the church is lost. Why would you shed your precious blood to leave people here after you've redeemed them if it is not for them to use them to witness to other people what they have experienced so they can also come to know you? Especially when you are a God who doesn't want anybody to perish. Are you getting it? The Bible says he doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. How can it be that messages about preaching the gospel are the least popular messages? Huh? So you can sleep. I can even give you a blanket. I'll still preach what I'm preaching. Can I have an amen? I'm all preach it, man. Hallelujah. All right. So I think you understand that last verse we read, right? Now let's read another interesting one. Romans chapter 10. And verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Oh, our time is up already. All right. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Okay. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Have you got that? Okay, we're going to read all the way to 17. It says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, isn't it? Verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Do you see that? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Next one says, how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? Hallelujah. He says, how will they call? Anybody who calls on him will be saved. The problem is, how will they call on someone they have not heard? Isn't it? How will they call on someone? That's the whole purpose of advertising. One of the reasons for advertising is to let you know that something exists. Isn't it? Because you will not ask for something if you don't know it exists. So he's saying that, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? Isn't it? Then how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? Then how will they hear without a preacher? Can you see that? Yeah. So the one who is not preaching is the one who is responsible for all the things that have happened, or those who are not saved. Isn't it? Now the next verse, verse 15, also says, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. And then verse 16. However, they did not heed the good news, for Isaiah says, who has believed our report? Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Hallelujah. Now this verse is a very popular verse for preaching about how faith comes, for preaching about faith. You see, but look at the context. The context, this verse is coming right on the heels of a whole, you know, explanation of how people get saved and why they are not saved. It starts by saying, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then it says, but how will they call on someone they don't believe in? Then it says, how will they believe in someone they have not heard about? And how will they hear about someone if there is no preacher? And how will they preach unless they've been sent to preach? Isn't it? Then he says, give me verse 15 again, please. From verse 15. 15 and 16. He says, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. Then, however, they did not all heed the good news, because Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So it's like, not everybody has believed what was said. Do you understand? Not everybody has believed the good news that has been preached. So in verse 17, he explains. But then he says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Hallelujah. So as we preach the word of Christ, as we preach the message of the gospel, which is the good news, do you understand? As we preach it, people will believe. People will believe the gospel itself, the message of the word that has been preached itself, has a way of working itself in the hearts of the people to generate the faith that is necessary for them to believe. Amen. Amen. And the more we preach it, the more they hear the word, the more they hear the word, the more they believe. Are you hearing it? Yeah. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We must preach the word of Christ. We must preach the gospel. The message of the gospel is what must be preached. And as we preach that, faith will rise. People will begin to believe it. Amen. Share with someone that simple message and leave it and allow it to work. You may not know how this message will lead to someone's salvation, but we are not greater than God who designed the message. Hallelujah. God knows what is in the message, and he knows what in the message will cause a conversion in people. Amen. So we must not be ashamed of it. Amen. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not feel that it is not adequate. Do not feel that we need to explain so many other things. We don't need to explain so many other things. We must take what Jesus gave to us and preach that. And that will lead to the conversion of people. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Then let me give you one last verse. One last one. That's just for the road. Amen. Okay, I know our time is up. Just one last one. It's in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 46. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Okay. And he said to them, thus it is written, this is what is written, that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Can you see that? Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And verse 47, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. So what are you a witness of? We go back to the verse, Pastor Melinda, can you put them together? Put the three verses together. 46, 47, and 48. Hallelujah. This is the last verse for today. And then you can go home. Amen. Right. He said to them, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. Hallelujah. Then he says, and that repentance for forgiveness. We need to repent of our sins so that we can be forgiven, you see, would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Do you get it? Beginning from Jerusalem. Then he says, you are witnesses of these things. This is what you are a witness of. Hallelujah. In other words, this is what you must bring to the people. This is what you are testifying to the world. This is the message that we are supposed to bring to the people. The whole thing about him dying, rising from the dead, you know, and that we can seek his forgiveness by applying his blood to our lives. Our sins will be forgiven. Do you understand? That is the message of the gospel. That's what we've been charged with. It says, you are witnesses of these things. That's what you are witness of. Hallelujah. So not of anything else, but this. This is what we all have experienced. All of us who claim to be saved have believed this. Amen. Unless you have not believed this, if you have not believed this, you will not be saved. Amen. If the forgiveness of sins has not happened to you, then you are still in your sins. An unbeliever is a person who has not experienced this. He has not experienced repentance for forgiveness. That's an unbeliever, not an American. Do you understand? But this is an unbeliever, a person who has not experienced that forgiveness. Hallelujah, of their sins. And that is the message that has been given to us to proclaim. We are just supposed to say it. We are not supposed to explain why. It's not our, we are not the ones who are saying that's it. Hallelujah. When you are witness to something, you are not required to explain why. You are just required to say what you saw. Hallelujah. So if you see a man jumping into the swimming pool and drowning, that's what you saw. You are not required to explain why he did that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, if you know why he did that, great. But it's not an essential part of what you are a witness of. Can I have an amen? The witness is supposed to state the facts. He says, you are witnesses of these things. That's what we are. Can I have an amen? Amen. So let's bring the message to a close here. And by the grace of God, we'll continue next week. Hallelujah. Are you learning how to be a witness? Are you becoming a better person at witnessing? Amen. That is the work that the church is supposed to do. Hallelujah. All right. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Just bow your heads, everybody, and begin to pray and ask the Lord to make you a witness. Ask the Lord to make you a witness. Say, Lord, I want you to make me a true witness. It should make you a true witness of the simple message of the gospel. We shouldn't make it complicated at all. We shouldn't make it complicated at all. And just pray that God will help you to understand it yourself so that you can share it effectively with other people in the name of Jesus. 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 Father, we pray today and we commit ourselves into your care. We ask, Lord, that we will not become a backsliding church. We will not become a church that has missed its purpose. We will not become a church that now seeks other things in the name of seeking God. We will not use God as a means to get worldly things and material things and depart from our real purpose as a church. We pray, Father, that you will bring restoration of our purpose and the original intent for establishing the church and gathering the believers together to teach and to instruct them and to train them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us to understand the message of the gospel. Help us to be proclaimers of the gospel. Help us to be true witnesses of the gospel. May we not be workmen who need to be ashamed. Workmen who are embarrassed because we don't know our job, because we don't know what we are supposed to do and what is required of us and what we are supposed to say. Deliver us from the deception of the enemy, causing us to take on so many other things that we actually miss the salient issues in our message. Help us to deliver our message precisely, succinctly, in the name of Jesus. Help us to deliver the message on point to the targets that you bring our way, to the people that we meet, sometimes for a very short time, sometimes for a long time, the people we work with every day. Give us a way to proclaim the gospel, and may the Holy Spirit brood on what we say. May the Holy Spirit water the word that is sown, that it may bring forth fruit in its season, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Right. You may be seated. We want